Senate Judiciary Committee, Wednesday, February 13th, 1991.
And let's see, I think we can, first, the most expedient matter we can deal with is Senate Bill 377. Heath?
Chair and members of the committee, my name is Keith Byrne. I represent the Oregon Court Reporters Association. Ross Shepherd organization was a sponsor of this bill. The Oregon Criminal Defense Council only authorized me to speak for him, and Mr. Linden is here, and there's various people interested in this bill. We feel with a week or so that we are going to be able to reassure each other and reconcile differences and various other things, and hopefully that there wouldn't be a need for this bill. And what we'd suggest is that you continue this matter for a week or so, and then hopefully we'll be able to tell you that the bill isn't needed and you won't have to schedule at all.
And
that's
so
our objective.
Keith, so all parties concerned with Senate Bill 377 agree to this continuance?
I'm confident that's, well, I know Mr. Linden has talked, a member of my organization has talked to some of them, and Mr. Linden has talked to some of them, and Mr. Shepherd. I think they've all been contacted.
All right. Okay, thank you very
some
much.
Some were here as witnesses. We've already told them, and they have departed, hoping that you would grant our request.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yes, is there anyone else who would like to say anything about Senate Bill 377? If not, then we will set it over for a later date. And you all will be in touch with Keith and Bill. Keith, Bill, you all will be in touch with counsel to let us know what your intentions are with the bill.
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much. Yes, we'll now move to our public hearings on Senate Bill 371.
Hello, Vern. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Vern Fotz. I chair the Board of Parole and Post Prison Supervision. I'm here with respect to Senate Bill 371, which is an effort to correct an oversight that occurred at the time of the drafting and of the sentencing guidelines legislation, and which left out a very important tool that is used by the Board of Parole. It was the intent of the Sentencing Guidelines Board to provide that the process for return to prison of violators of conditions of post-prison supervision be similar to the process for that which we use in the revocation of parole. Basically, there the statute grants the board the authority to order a parolee arrested and detained pending a hearing to determine whether parole should be revoked, conditions modified, so on. And we need this same authority for offenders under post-prison supervision, and it was left out of the statutory changes that were made at the time sentencing guidelines was drafted. And so we are now without that basically management tool. The authority to arrest and detain is an important tool for us in the management of out-of-control offenders, and offenders who will not appear for out-of-custody hearings when we want to talk with them about changing or modifying or some other way affecting the conditions of their supervision. For those offenders who've committed new crimes and needed to be arrested and detained, and for those who have fled the state and are in other jurisdictions. Senate Bill 371 then would amend ORS 144331, 144310, and 144370 to provide that we, that is the Board of Parole, may suspend post-prison supervision, order the arrest and detention, or cite to an out-of-custody hearing offenders on post-prison supervision.
Mr. Chair,
yes.
Some amendments proposed amendments have been provided to the committee along with written testimony from Mr. Fotz, and those amendments contain the additional sections. The bill that you have in front of you refers only to section 144.331. This matter had been scheduled for a work session on Friday. After conferring with Mr. Fotz prior to the hearing, I would ask to have the matter set for a later date. Legislative Council would like to look at some of the terminology that's used in the proposed amendments and consider making recommendations for other changes.
Okay. Any questions? Vern is there, so you're asking for the same treatment?
Yes.
Post-conviction?
Please.
Is there any difference at all?
In my mind, there would not be any difference.
Any other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Is there anyone else who want to be heard on Senate Bill 371?
Senator Hill, if I may.
Please.
Ms. Clausen was here on behalf of the Department of Corrections. She was going to make a statement in support of this bill. She left her testimony. She had to go back. She thought we were going to be last on the agenda.
And Mr. Chair, the testimony was also provided in writing to the committee members.
All right. If she can get back here before we adjourn, then we'll allow her to give her testimony.
Thank you
very much.
Mr. Chair, I had a quick question for counsel.
Yes, go ahead, Senator Springer.
Vern, maybe you have somebody to add. I mean, there's a local jail impact, isn't there? You guys put out a detainer or a warrant or something for somebody to pick them up and hold them in a local jail until what a Morrissey hearing is held?
Mr. Chair, Senator Springer, there is, of course, a jail impact.
Right.
And we have worked hard to make that a relatively brief period of time. The turnaround time now for people awaiting Morrissey hearings is about 15 days. It had been as long as weeks or months. But with working together with the Department of Corrections, we've managed to add some staff and pull that number down very significantly.
Okay. I recall that issue as part of some earlier work and presentation here, and I kind of recalled that you folks had made a lot of progress and had been able to work pretty closely with the local corrections and jail people, and I just wanted to confirm that and make sure I had in mind the correct procedure that you're following at this time.
Mr. Chair and Senator Springer, actually people are being arrested and detained for post-prison supervision violations
right.
at this point, so there won't be a dramatic change in the number.
Okay, I understand. Okay, thanks for that clarification. Thank you very much.
And yes, now we will move to our work session on Senate Bill 395.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate Bill 395, if you give me a chance, I thought I put my files in order. It's a bill that's brought to us by the Court Administrator's Office and jointly filed during the interim. It was filed at the request of the Joint Interim Judiciary Committee on behalf of the Judicial Department. It's basically a housekeeping bill for the Court Administrator's Office, and Bill Linden is here if anyone has any particular questions about the bill. But what the bill does, it does the following. It deletes from Oregon statutory law the term judgment roll, sentence order, and judgment order. It clarifies that court orders, judgments, and decrees need not be signed in open court to be valid. It states makes the prevailing party small claims filing fees provisions similar to those for circuit and district court. And does several other housekeeping matters.
Any amendments?
Mr. Chair, there are no amendments to the bill.
Any discussion on the bill? If not, well then the chair would move Senate Bill 395 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion?
How do we deal with the effective date of this thing? Sometimes if we don't deal specifically with the effective date, you know, we create a question in people's minds whether orders are pending after or before, and it just creates a whole lot of confusion that maybe we can avoid if there's any specific reference to an effective date.
Counsel, I recall there's supposed to be some research on that.
Mr. Chair, I don't remember as it relates to this bill, no.
Senator Springer.
I don't recall specifically it being discussed in the context of this bill, but I may have missed part of that conversation.
Mr. Linden is here, Mr. Chair.
I mean, sometimes we pick a date like September 1st or January 1st, so everyone knows exactly when this applies, as opposed to 90 days after the end of the session, where nobody knows what that is unless they've made a mistake. And can you help me out, Bill? And maybe it's not an issue in this bill. I don't know.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Springer, we thought about the issue, didn't think the bill needed an emergency clause in any way. I wouldn't have any objection to a specific date being put in there. We anticipated it would be 90 days after session, and that we and I'm sure other interested parties would report on it so people knew it was coming. But I don't have any objection if you want to put a particular date in there.
Committee's pleasure.
Well, let's, when does the bar publish its CLE? That's usually by the time the bar convention is scheduled, which is sometime in September this year. Carl, do you know when the bar convention is meeting? First, well, let's make sure we do it after the first week in October, because sometimes people just don't focus on it. How about January 1st of 92? Is that okay for you folks?
Mr.
Or would you like to do it sooner?
Senator Springer, I'd rather do it sooner, perhaps mid-October, November 1st.
How about November 1st? Maybe it's not a big deal, but I, having received phone calls after every session from lawyers who want to know this question, or questions similar to this, I just, sometimes I'm a little sensitive to it. Now, maybe it isn't a big deal here, but...
Well, this bill clearly would not apply to orders that are executed prior to whatever effective date is chosen, but... it's always a problem after a legislative session to get all the lawyers up on what has happened. So again, I don't have any objection to a date certain. I don't think we should delay it any longer than it absolutely has to be, though.
You want to?
Well, I'd move conceptually we make the operative date of the language November 1st, 1991.
Is there any objection to Senator Springer's amendment? And we'll have that run through Legislative Council to put it at the correct place. Is there any objection? Not so ordered. Then the chair would move Senate Bill 395 as amended to the floor for due pass recommendation. Any further discussion? If not, then and before we call the roll, the last person to speak was Bill Linden of the State Court Administrator's Office. Please call the roll.
Senator Brockman?
Aye.
Senator Bunn?
Aye.
Senator Hamby?
Aye.
Senator Shoemaker?
Aye.
Senator Springer?
Aye.
Chairperson Hill?
Aye. Springer, you want to do the honors?
That'll learn me. Yes, I'll be glad to.
We'll now move to our work session on Senate Bill 61.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate Bill 61 is brought to us by the Office of Medical Assistance Program Department of Human Resources. It's a very simple bill. It changes ORS 41.675 by changing professional standards review organizations to professional review organizations. And the purpose of that is to make Oregon terminology consistent with federal terminology. There are no amendments to the bill.
Chair, I would...
Any discussion?
I'll move the bill to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Yes. Senator Shoemaker moves a Senate Bill 61 to the floor for due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Not, then please call the roll.
Senator Brockman?
Aye.
Senator Bunn?
Aye.
Senator Hamby?
Aye.
Senator Shoemaker?
Aye.
Senator Springer?
Aye.
Chairperson Hill?
Aye. So ordered. Maybe I was a little autocratic on that. Any volunteers for this? Senator Shoemaker. My apologies, Senator Springer.
No.
That was terrible. See, we'll now move to our work session on Senate Bill 338.
Thank you, Madam, Mr. Chair. Senate Bill 338 is at the request of the Law Improvement Committee of the interim. And the bill provides that any contract requiring the awarding of attorney's fees include in the enforcement, the contract should be considered to authorize fees both at trial and on appeal. Whether the contract provides for attorney's fees on appeal or not. This is basically as a result of some Oregon cases, Niedermeyer versus Latimer, which has interpreted the guarantee provisions in a contract as simply guaranteeing reciprocity of contract, not the right to attorney's fees. And it was the Law Improvements Committee's recommendation that this provision be changed. There are no amendments proposed to the bill, though the committee did express a desire to roll up three of these bills into one. If that is the case, what I would recommend is be done to Senate Bill 339.
All right, then why then, before we act, then why don't we review what view Senate Bill 339?
Yeah, sure. Senate Bill 339, Mr. Chair, is also brought to us at the request of the Law Improvement Committee. It requires both parties to a contract that provides for prevailing party attorney fees be entitled to attorney's fees in any lawsuit, including rescission, brought under the contract. And it was has its basis in some of the same case law, the Niedermeyer case again, and the reasoning being that the statute has been interpreted as providing for reciprocity of contract, not for necessarily attorney's fees when it's rescission of the contract. The logic being that if you're asking to rescind the contract, you can't then ask to have the provisions of the contract with attorney's fees apply to you.
Mr. Chair, I'll move that we roll the two together.
Yes, Senator Hamby moves that we combine Senate Bills 338 and 339. According to our legislative council, I guess it would properly be done. Is there any objection to Senator Hamby's motion? Not so ordered. Senator Hamby moves Senate Bill 339 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion?
Chair?
Yes. Schumacher.
I wonder if we should consider moving Senate Bill 340, which also relates to attorney's fees, into the combined bill of 338 and 339.
Mr. Chair, Senator Schumacher, in fact, you will see in front of you a staff measure summary with a Senate Bill 339A amended, which I anticipated rolling all three bills into one. However, just before the meeting, I got a call, Senator Springer called me, and he received a call from an attorney in Portland who is quite concerned about this Senate Bill 340 as it relates to a case that he has before the Oregon Supreme Court. So I think there's been a request through Senator Springer that this bill be put over for a week, because he would like to confer with me and possibly come down here and testify on the issue. I guess he's quite concerned about the fact that we may do something that could have a retroactive effect to his case and other cases out there.
That's correct, Mr. Chair and members. I would appreciate if we could have another week to work on 340. I've requested copies of the Court of Appeals briefs. Apparently, there are 30 different law firms, plaintiff and defense firms, who have asked the Supreme Court to deal with the question of whether or not a tort can arise out of a contract action if that, quote, conduct is tortious as it relates to the contract. And that issue is, there's a concern that we may inadvertently affect whatever process is now underway, and I'd like to explore with counsel the options so that we don't have that untoward impact on what may now be before the courts. I'll be glad to respond or visit further with members as to the information I learned and what kind of language we might propose. Thank you.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
That certainly seems reasonable to me, and I will withdraw my motion.
It was under discussion. Thank you very much, Senator Shoemaker. Any further discussion on Senate Bill 339 as amended by combining it with Senate Bill 338? If not, then please call the roll.
Senator Brockman. He's walked out. Senator Bunn.
Aye.
Senator Hamby.
Aye.
Senator Shoemaker.
Aye.
Senator Springer.
Aye.
Chairperson Hill.
Aye. Senator Brockman is excused. Put him mark him as excused.
Yes, sir.
All right, then. Let's see. Then we can move to our public hearing and possible work session for Senate Bill 337.
Move it to the floor, or did we just amend it?
I think we amended it. We had it when that was to the floor. Was that? I'm sorry.
I don't
was
think
that?
It was.
Did we move? Was Senate Bill 339 as amended moved to the floor? Was that the motion?
Combined with?
It was the motion. Was the motion. I thought that it was.
Yes.
Okay, it was, I think it was Senator Hamby.
Combined with 338.
That's right.
Yes.
Okay, that's all right. Thank you. Yes, so Senate Bill 337. Okay, please. Charlie, come up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, Charles Williamson, representing the Oregon Trial Lawyers Association. My group doesn't have an official position on this bill, although when we first looked at it, it looked like it made good sense to have who a person wanted to be their beneficiaries in their will should get their wrongful death judgment instead of necessarily their family, although there's a situation that one person just wrote in and said we should reconsider that, and I just thought I should bring it to the attention of the committee that people put their estate plans together in lots of different ways. Some people take care of their family by putting everything they have in a trust, and their will may leave the residuary clause of their will could be to a charity, could be to almost anybody. And so this just assumes that whoever, I assume whoever would be the residuary beneficiary in a will would be entitled to the wrongful death proceeds, and it may not be the family or children or anyone else of the testator. Under present law, generally, it would be divided by the court between the spouse and children of the decedent. And the person that wrote in, anyway, said this could really result in some weird situations, and it may be the law. You're trying to deal with something that you don't know exactly what the testator would have done with that money, but in thinking about it, it seems to me that perhaps it would be better to say that the court could apportion it not only between the people entitled to share if he had died without a will or she had died without a will, and also between the residuary beneficiaries of the will, rather than saying one or the other, because you could cut out clearly who the person would have wanted their estate to go to. I don't know if you want to put this one over too, but I would be glad to get back to you next week with a firm position on, or even within a day, if you want, of our associations.
Charlie, have you spoken to the proponents of the bill?
No, I haven't. I just got this.
Okay. Well, I think it would be good for you to talk to them and express your concerns and see if it's something that they dealt. This was the Law Improvement Committee. So if you would talk to them and get back to us as soon as possible. And if you can work out your differences, or if there is a difference, it would be very helpful.
I will do so. Thank you.
Let's see then. We'll set Senate Bill 337 over. Do we have any bill introductions?
Yes, Council? We do. We have two bills for introduction, Senator. We have LC 2941 at the request of the Oregon Bankers Association, changes references from line of credit mortgage to line of credit instrument. And we have LC 2940 at the request of Tillman Hashey, attorney at law, exempt certain letters of credit from scope of state law. believe it relates to the area of international law.
Okay. Any objection to those two bills just mentioned by counsel being introduced as committee bills? Not so ordered. Is there anything else, counsel?
Mr. Chair, Senator, there is not. We had anticipated at least 10 or 15 witnesses on one bill, and that's the bill relating to court reporters, and it appears that they may be working their differences out, so that's the reason for the brevity of the hearing today.
Bless them. Yes. All right. If there is nothing else, then we're adjourned.